Blog Talk Radio.
I wear it well when no one can see. I'm talking about pain. Gonna take trials to be delivered. Y'all know that happiness ain't for free. I'm heading down the wrong way. Please somebody won't you? Oh please, won't somebody please stop me? Yeah.
My soul is on fire.
Got me running.
My soul is on fire, and I can't take another day.
Yeah. I'm still hurting, about to give up. Done lost sleep and lost weight. I'm doing bad. Getting hard to keep my chin up. I need somebody to kneel and pray for me. Yeah. I'm heading down the wrong way. It's getting hard for me to breathe. Yeah. Oh, please, won't somebody please stop me? Oh, oh, oh. Call the preacher, let him help me. Call my mother, won't you tell her to stop and pray? Please, somebody, won't you help me through another day? I can't make it.
Oh,
peace and blessings, love and service, man. Oh, I. Y'all know what it is, family. Thursday nights, breaking the curse. Y'all alive with Brother Yon and Brother Hess, striving to deliver our best. And we up in the studio tonight at Pop's Movement, chilling. And I mean literally, family, we are chilling. It's kind of cool up in these studios tonight. But you know it feels real warm in our hearts, and we most definitely are breaking curses and taking time out to break any strongholds, chains, as well as spells that strive to bound us, bind us, and keep us held down to anything and everything that's unrighteous. And so with that being said, welcome everybody in. This is Pops Movement Radio Networks. And family, you can find out more about us at popsmovement.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, and definitely we have many, many opportunities for you to be able to organize with us or allow us to organize with you. Family, tonight, breaking the curse, we want to strive to bring this thing in such a way to where it will open up the minds and the hearts of our listeners, as well as allow our listeners an opportunity to come in and speak from their heart. What is it that you are seeing that are curses that are bringing life into a phase that you don't like, that you don't want, that you feel crippled by or hindered by? What's going on in your existence today? What's going on in your relationship? What's going on in your own inner dealings and inner workings within the mind, the heart, and the spirit? What's going on, family? What's going on in life? One of the things that we strive to do here at Pops Movement is offer our program of the 6 steps to peace. And step one says, form a bond with someone based on how you can be valuable to their life. Because we know here at Pops Movement, when we get out of our own problems and our own worriations, it no longer exists, and we become an angel of somewhat, a mentor, a helpmate. And we're able to sit down and take time out to look, listen, and learn what it is that someone else is going through, what they're dealing with, and what they have to offer life. What are they striving for? How can we be a part of their success? How can we take on the yoke that is bearing down upon their shoulders that's too heavy and weighing them down? You know, how can we get to know someone else? And that's what we do in step one, forming bonds based on how we can be valuable to the life of another rather than looking for our own wants and needs. In step two, we begin to identify problems that we see exist in life, something that we can agree upon with the person that we just formed a bond with or the people that we form bonds with. As we begin to identify these problems that we can all agree upon, we go into step three by expressing the importance and the willingness to unite with them. Are we willing to come together on these problems? Are we willing to unite and be as one in seeing these problems? Because if we can do that, now we can also take that same unity and willingness and go into step four, which is getting to the solution. What are the principles that work these solutions out step by step? Many times we have often said right here on the airwaves of Pops Movement Radio that the solution is the opposite of the problem. If you're feeling lonely, it's time to get up out of that place and that space and get actively involved in doing something for somebody else. If you're feeling depressed, we know that depression is inner fears, inner hate, inner turmoil. Well, get outside of that. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Hess, you just don't understand. Family, I promise, I swear to God, boy, if anybody knows days of depression, I promise you, family, I know some days that many of you probably, man, you wouldn't believe that Brother Hess was forced to go through and deal with. But by the grace of God, I made it out. And now I join you all together here on the airways. With that type of a solution, family, we go into step five, which we call build a strategy. Time to form a think tank. Have a meeting of the minds. Begin to culminate everything that we found out in the solutions and provide them for other people How do we do this? How do we come together? How do we build a council or a committee or a formula-type circle that wants to see these solutions dropped on more and more people, more and more communities, more and more issues that need to be worked out step by step? Because that's our strategy session in step five. And as we begin to have these strategy sessions, we ask that each participant and member always remember in step six, it's time to take responsibility. Take responsibility for the fact that we've had too many soldiers here in poverty-stricken America to leave our communities and our hearts, and no one was left behind to carry on the torch, to continue to wave the banner, continue to uplift, encourage, and implement what will require a strong soldier on the front line. And so we want to build other soldiers up as we come up in the ranks and the file, to continue to keep our lawns manicured, to continue to keep our children fed, continue what it is that is required for us to mediate these gang violent acts, asking the drug dealers to miss this block right here where our children play, begin to formulate ways and ideas on how to deal with the sisters who are committing prostitution down here with almost nothing on, knowing people have to come through there that have nothing to do with a sex ring. And so, family, we want to continue to see how we can solve issues, problems on a daily basis that go on in our communities across this nation. And that's how we kind of like offer it through our six steps to peace. But with that being said, and no further ado, I want to bring in our host with the most that definitely has the topic for tonight in his heart, in his spirit. Brother Yon, how you feeling tonight, big brother?
Man, what's going on, bro, and everybody else? I'm feeling pretty dang good. Just happy to be here, happy to be alive. Kind of excited about the topic because, you know, it's about that time. You know, everybody talking about 2018, what's going on, how are things going to change. So I'm actually kind of curious. We got some people already on the line want to come in and talk. But before we go too far into it, what were you thinking about, man? It's you know, it's always a scary topic to discuss, you know, change, for at least most people. I don't know. It was for me at one time, at one point in my life.
Yes, sir. Peace and blessing. I'm sorry. I'm having technical difficulties right here in the studios. Peace and blessing. I'm sorry,
okay.
Brother. Go ahead.
No problem, brother. Okay. No problem. No problem. Oh, well, definitely want to appreciate everybody coming in tonight. Basically, the topic of conversation is, you know, change, you know, being accountable for change, being prepared for change. You know, are you prepared for whatever it is that's going to be laid in front of you and how you're going to approach it? Or in a general sense, how you're going to evolve as an individual according to the changes that are set forth in front of you? And, you know, of course, are you going to grow from the situation or are you going to, you know, stunt your growth from the situation? So it's all relative. It's all perspective. And as we know, definitely always want to encourage you to come in and press one. I have a couple callers in here, so I want to bring them in right away so they can get what they have to say out. And we can start the discussion and, you know, get it going, see what everybody's thinking about and feeling tonight. So let's start with caller 214-417. Come on in. Share who you are and where you're calling from.
Peace and blessings, man. This is Brother Abdul Rahim Samad, representing the Blackstone Tribe, the Nation of Islam. And all my brothers and sisters, the nation, the Black Panthers, the Cubs, all that from Chicago. I'm down here in Texas right now. I was listening to Brother Hess and yourself, brother. Y'all was speaking about change and like building a strategy and stuff like that. Me, myself, I started with self. Like since I've been a kid, I just paid attention to myself. I happen to be blessed to pay that close attention to self. It started with self, like when we were youth, like, certain things our parents, like up in a Black household, try to like force upon us, like Christianity and all those things. So it basically starts right there. And then it escalates to the system. Like I'm down here in Texas, they don't even have like mental institutions for our people that have whatever problem due to the system. Our elders let us come up with 1 month of Black history. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't make sense if we're Black or African-American or Moors or whoever we are. When we go into these institutions, why are
me myself too, because now I'm a parent. Why are we letting our kids continuously go to an institution that's not for them? So that we gonna keep on having to build another strategy and another strategy. It's kind of like we playing a game. We effing ourselves, brother. You know what I'm saying? The truth is the truth. It's on the table. And like I'm a conscious man, a young brother. So I know each one of us could teach each other something. And from what I've been seeing, as far as change, it just start with self. We can't be religious with it. It got to be more spiritual. You know what I'm saying? That's your own personal relationship with the Creator. Don't nothing change unless we change it. We made in our Father's image. Then it's up to us, like y'all was saying, to be the vanguards and all that, to change it, to step up and take our rightful position and not wait on the government or nobody else, because we are the government. I mean, they look Constitution, whatever, say we the people. They're not the people. They definitely not the people. They doing everything other than what they promised they was going to do when they stepped in office. But I don't want to hold y'all too long. I know there's some other brothers and sisters that want to get their message across. I could go all day. I got a whole lot of stuff on my mind. I want to shout out my big cousin, Arthur Stringer, man. He been rotating with y'all. He one of the ones that really got me, you know, like paying attention to Brother Hess, because he got the, Developer's Dream, him and Dirt. So shout out to them there in the city doing their thing, man, and up in these other states or whatever, and they working. And that's what it's about, man. Less talk and more work. I'm tired of people talking about the word change, this and that. Man, listen, everybody is just like having a butt. And then the same people that be talking about they want to change, they want to stay the same. And then when the hammer come down on them, then they want to run back to the righteous ones. Like, it got to be some type of separation, even for our people, because definitely they couldn't be from the same tree as us if they doing all these other things, constantly deviating when you have ones come and aid and assist you at adversity. That go for our sisters, too, out here with the prostitution lit. I done ran across plenty sisters. I'm a king, so it ain't nothing for me to dig in my pocket and give back to the Father what's his, you know, to his people, so I won't feel like I'm robbing him. And then you still have sisters that are just ignorant and still trying to go on with their propaganda, whatever, and you, a brother like me, like, I got sisters and I got a daughter, and I, like I said, I'm a king. I'm not finna trick off with my sister, whatever, but, like, if we have some fun, we friends, whatever, by law, our man should take care. That's what a God do. And last time I checked, we physical gods down here on this plane. So it's our duty to take care of our people, not the government, bottom line, period. Sign for the man to be man, and the boys to be boys, and the girls to be girls, period, point blank. Peace and blessings, brother. I love y'all. Thank y'all for letting me expound.
Man, we love you too, bro. Oh, definitely, man. And welcome back to the house, man, Apostle, because what you just shared, brother, is exactly what we're talking about, change. And we ain't got nothing to feel when it comes to change. You know, I had a brother ask me earlier this week. He was like, Brother Hess, man, I don't understand how you able to resist looking at these girl booty when they walk by. Look how fat and round it is, bro. And I'm like, bro, when I see that sister right there, I see my mama.
Exactly.
I see my mama, I see my sister, and I see my daughter. That's all three elements right there walking by with what you talk about is a big round booty. See, I could care less about how big the booty is, how round it is, how many dimples in it, you know what I mean? And that don't entice me. See, what entices me is my spiritual value and my ability to be able to change my concept of how I see this female. And you know, I told the brother, man, and he was like, damn, Brother Hess, and that's deep, bro. I said, it ain't deep. It's realistic. I said, because when I walk by her, I don't want her to see a ding-a-ling. I don't want her to try to see what my print is down here. I want her to see a man, a brother, a father figure, someone who she can help to inspire and mold and shape. You know, the Nation of Islam says a nation can never rise any higher than this woman. You know, how do you protect your women?
Say it again.
How do you see your women? Yeah, fam. The nation can't rise any higher than this woman. And so if we are the vanguard, if we're the ones to protect our women, to nurture our women, to raise our women up as high as they can possibly go, they are the creators. they are the ones that are bringing our lives into existence. So, you know, we can't see them as objects for our gratification. We got to change our concept. And, brother, I thank you so much for bringing those points home here at the Home of Pops, man. We love you very much back, bro. Peace and blessings.
Yes, sir. I've been in tune with yourself, Brother Hess. And I've been out here on the front line for you too, brother, for all my brothers and sisters, all the ones that's locked up and the ones who done got changed over for, you know, trying to step up for our people. And, like, I had a talk with a couple of my brothers over there at the Nation and other places, and my elders told me, like, brother, you don't need to be trying to die for our people, woo-woo. You young, you ain't even seen nothing yet. And they gave me a new outlook on it, like, to be more positive because I'm a king and I don't want nobody to look at me. I want our youth to look at me and I be misrepresented by anybody's lips. I want, like, my actions and stuff. Nobody got to go to nobody and ask them about me because they seen for themselves and was able to get a clear crystal drawn off of what I stand for. And I just need y'all brothers to keep doing what y'all doing, man, and we get stronger and stronger.
One step at a time. That's peace, brother.
Yes, sir.
Definitely, most definitely. And I actually have a question for you, Brother Abdul, a real quick question. What do you think is the reason that so many individuals are held back from changing? Is it fear? Is it lack of, you know, knowledge? Is it, you know, social acceptance? What holds people back from their ability to change or outgrow the current stage that they're in?
You just hit all the key components, brother, because it's a difference depending on the individual. All those could be a key component for five different people, you know what I'm saying? So it's like the peer pressure type stuff, and then you got the, like, lack of knowledge. That's one of the main things because, like, the brothers that pick up the knowledge, a lot of us don't pass it on, so we still lacking knowledge, thinking that we got knowledge. So we worse than the ones that's actually ignorant and don't know. Because we know something, we ain't willing to go and share with our brother. We turn other cheek, like, oh, he think he want to do this, do that. Watch, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us sit back and want to see our brother, our sister fall because of whatever. That's just out of ignorance. And like Brother Hess said, I'm sure it was a time of day that Brother Hess wanted to look at the round bubble butt and count how many dimples or whatever. Cause I did it. But at the end of the day, when you surround yourself around yourself. And when I say yourself, that means upright and fearless man that's going to be teachers. And also, we still learning. You know what I'm saying? We eager to learn, get some knowledge in. So when you surround yourself around good men, and, you know, it gives you a reason to want to be right. You know, if you're around people that's not doing nothing with their lives or not, and you constantly trying to sit there and be the dead horse constantly, and there's nobody around in that area doing anything positive, you're not even bringing nobody in with you to hold you down. Because at the end of the day, everybody needs somebody. I go 364 days out the year telling the Father to put the weight of the world on my shoulders. But guess what? About a 365th day, I'm on my knees, broke down. Father, please, I know you with me. And he ain't never turned his back on me, but he going to always let us know that we got to bring it back to him. We got to bring it back to self, us. When you point the finger, you have three fingers pointing back at you. And I told myself one thing, I don't want to be in that situation either. You see, people could easily point their finger at the white man or whoever, man. But I say it's in-house stuff, bro, like for real, because a lot of the weakness, that a lot of areas we weak in is because somebody told us we was a slave or somebody said the white man had some power or something. But we all know that's a lie. We know that that's a lie. So we got to stand on that hard and preach that. We got to get to the point where we going to these education people, whoever the head of education, and let them know this got to be a curriculum for our students. For our students, or we might as well go back to hosting school at grandmama's house or at Miss Shirley or whoever on the block and everybody else's house, because we being robbed right there. We working on a problem right now, so we got to start from the ground on up. So we cannot even allow falsehood, period, into the picture, because we trying to reframe, and you see what I'm saying, brother? So, like I said, it's a number of problems. People want to fit in. People want to do it for the gram, do it for the book, do it for whatever, social media, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But it's all for the wrong purposes. So I think it's just start with myself. Like this summer, I'm planning on putting together a non-for-profit organization. I happen to went to Chicago, and I'm one of them guys that got all three of my felony convictions exonerated, wrongfully convictions. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking to take those finances and start some along with the POPs movement, which I already have going on. I'm looking to basically link in with my brothers and my sisters and bring what I have to the table, because we all know the issues and the problem. We lack knowledge. We lack benefits. We lack food, shelter, all these things. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of our brothers got backgrounds or whatever. That's not a hindrance. When we have all these millionaires and these billionaires, all these rappers and these singers, and not even just talk about them, let's talk about the corporate people. You know what I'm saying? We got to be willing to give our own an opportunity so they won't have so much butts to run around and give. Because I dislike when a brother or sister give me a butt, because I done been there where y'all was at, and I'm telling you only by experience. I'm not telling you no stuff that I heard Brother Hatch say, or I heard Brother Fred Hampton or somebody said. I'm telling y'all for experience. You know what I'm saying? So experience is the best teacher, and a lot of us, we just got to go touch that stove even though somebody told us that it's hot. I did it. I burned up my jogging suit. I had on one of them windbreaker jogging suits too one time. I remember. So we just got to be patient with our brothers, be willing to turn the other cheek. Like, don't be soft with them. You got to tell them what needs to be said. And don't feel no consequences. That's another thing that another reason that I think our people are so weak, because the man, they want stuff just watered down to them. If you effing up, man, and you know before anybody else know that you effed up. So if somebody, one of your brothers come to you, they're elder, they're the same age as you or whatever, and they say something to you, they ain't got to say it to your likeness. It's to help you. The Father don't come in when he chastising us, trying to whip us in shape. He don't come all, hey, man, would you please? No, he forcing stuff. He forcing us to do stuff. So if we ain't had no job, the light bill done, or the people just sent us an eviction letter, now we got to get up and start doing something, or either we going to be out here with nothing. So it's just about, man, each one teaching one, us holding each other down and knowing that there's no monetary value that could be offered to us, because it said we already inherited everything. So we just got to basically start acting on the things that we talk so much about. That's what I think, brother, and hold each other accountable at all times. It must be consequences and repercussions for the people that are in our neighborhood doing this or doing that, even the police. Like, if we made in our father's image and we stand for righteousness, we can't allow the police to be right there whooping on nobody, brother, sister, masculine, whoever, because we made in the Father's image, and he created all beings. So I really would like for the Black Lives Matter stuff to stop being pushed as an agenda so much, because I feel like they robbing us too. And it's not just me. It's other brothers, because we were told we not black. It's so much contradictory up in the big hex. So the people at the bottom, what you expect them to do? We can't shed so much light on our brother and our sister that still selling a bag of dope on the corner or whatever. Because you know why? We still got the Arabs and stuff up in our neighborhood. And before I left Chicago, I went and hollered at a few brothers about that issue. Like, back to school and stuff like that. These, according to their knowledge, these are Muslim brothers and sisters in the neighborhood. So one of the pillars of Islam is what? Charity. So they're not even giving back to our students. Then they got these plastics up or whatever, bulletproof things, so they won't get hurt. And they got our people standing in their store constantly letting them generate our dollar in our community. We have to be the man to step up and make a plan where nobody generating a dollar where we located at other than us. If we got to put the Batman crew that dress up in black at night, man, y'all know what I'm talking about, like straight up. It ain't no secrets. Like, I don't fear nothing, the government, none of that, because they know. They don't have no power over me. Whatever people said, I'm walking like I'm the physical father on this earth. You know what I'm saying? I'm walking with that power. Donald Trump don't even want to come where I'm from. Chicago. So that says a whole lot, man. We got to wake up, man. Look at the signs of the summer. It's our time to rise again and be kings and queens that we are. Peace and blessings, brother.
Peace. I appreciate that portion of information you gave us. Definitely agree with a lot of what you had to say, brother. Please come on back. We'll go to our next caller real quick since I've been patiently waiting. We definitely appreciate that. Caller 619-599. Come on in. Share who you are and where you're calling from.
What's happening, brother? This is y'all buddy, man. Calling from California, baby. What's happening with y'all, man? Love y'all, brothers.
Love you, too.
Love you, too, brother.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm driving right now, so I'm going to beat you a quick second, man. My bad. I have to get on the road. I might have these mounts. I just want to add something with brother Sam, man. Like, you know, it's about proving that more than the plan with just talking about it, man. Like Sam said, he's out here talking about it, man, but they ain't making no moves. I'm going to give you a prime example, man. I'm out here traveling the country, man. I'm in California right now, but I'll be around a lot of people that came out the hood that, you know, they came from the struggle and they got money, but they forget about the people in the struggle. And it's not about blaming them, but it's like this, man. Like I talk about, I say, you know what I mean? If you know a way out, man, and you out, you got to go back and teach the blind, bro. You know what I mean? They get rich, man. A lot of people get rich coming from the hood and get rich. And then they forget about the struggle and forget about the people. Like, man, fuck F them, man. I don't care about none of them. Man. Fuck F them. And they won't go back and teach the hood, man, the way out, bro. It ain't about giving the hood no money, man. It's about giving them opportunity, bro. You know, we ain't got no opportunity in these lands. Let's call the ghetto the concrete jungle. And then when our people who come from the concrete jungles, they find out about the opportunities and they get their way out and forget about going back home to show other. So his family had to get out, bro. So you know, it's about you know, showing actually speak louder than words, man. The hood need opportunity, man. They need real role models out there, man. You know what I mean? The lawyers we got, the doctors we got, the artists we got, the performers we got. You know, they need to be back there, you know, showing the youth what with the dope business and gun sector to show the youth. You know what I mean? Get out there on the blocks and really show them what it is. You know, take them to the places we never been before. You know what I mean? When I was growing up in Inglewood, Chicago, bro, you know, all I knew was four blocks. I didn't know about the suburbs until I was 21. Everybody I knew lived on those four blocks. You know what I mean? So I thought the whole world was like that until I was 21. You know what I mean? Until I was 21, until I made it to 21, is when I found out the whole world wasn't on four blocks. You know what I mean? So it's like, My thing is this, man. I'm driving right now. My point is this, man. A lot of the guys come from the struggle. They get rich and say F the hood, man, and say F the people who they left behind instead of going back showing them how to come out of there and set themselves. It ain't about giving them no money. It ain't about satisfying the people. It's about helping the people, man. And you can't be rich happy by yourself, man, without sharing that wealth with the rest of the people, man. Love y'all. It's before me. Sharp buddy. I'm back listening now, bro.
Oh, really?
For sure, brother. Man, he was on point with that. Totally on point. All these individuals who come from wherever they come from, I'm not going to say a specific hood or anything, but as soon as they get on, they usually dip off and never come back. They like forgot really who they were and where they come from. Like, I actually just got to watch that firsthand with one of my own brothers. You know what I mean? Same individuals he put on, you know, taught him different things, whether it was stock market or how to make more money, you know, legit, et cetera. Individuals went their separate ways and just forgot about who he was. And when he was down, oh, figure it out. You got this. You know what I mean? It's like they don't ever want to – they always forget like who was there for them when everything was tough. And then when everything's good for them, it's like, well, I'm not going to mess up what I got going on. I'm not going to let that interfere. And it's like we definitely got to figure out how to get back and, you know, teach. One of the things I've learned personally is a lot of people just don't want to listen. When you have good suggestions, good advice, or a good way to be successful, they think they know it all. And it's so hard to communicate to somebody who just doesn't plan or want to listen. So it's like, at what point do you give up or do you keep pushing? I don't know. That's just maybe my personal opinion. But definitely want to keep up the line going right now. We've got another caller. Caller 870-882. Come on in, share who you are, where you come from.
I'm calling out of Jonesboro. This is Mac Ritchie. I just want to elaborate on the change. You know what I'm saying? Last couple weeks, I've been going through a lot of things, some health problems. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things, struggling problems going on. But you know what? The thing with change, though, sometimes really we got to allow God to change us. You know, a lot of times we want to do things on our own. But if we don't have God a part of that equation, we can't get nowhere. And like, you know what I'm saying, like a person, you know, trying to quit addicted to drugs, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, I can quit cold turkey, I can quit on my own. But at the same time, you need God to change you from that, to deliver you from that. So in order for a person to change, we have to allow God to change us. Of course, we have to do our part, but we have to allow God to come to us in the spirit and be like, it's time to change. A lot of times people going to say, well, I'm going to do it when I'm ready. And a lot of times they be right, because God calls on people and is like, okay, push people to that lowest point in their life. They may put them on a deathbed. They might put them through this right here for them to wake up, the wake-up call to get them to change. Some people don't want to change. You know what I'm saying? So, but if we allow God to change us, then we'll be a better person, or a better man, a better woman, if we allow God to change us instead of trying to change ourselves. You know, our circumstance that we're going through in life, we want to try to do it, fix it on our own. And I have a problem with that sometimes. I had to pray, God, just fix this. I give it to you. But I want to try to fix it on my own. And God said, you trying to do it on your own, it ain't going to work. Let me help you with this. A lot of times we don't want God to help us. You know what I'm saying? When it gets too hard, we want to call on him. But when things going good in our life, we don't have no parts of God. We want to put him on a shelf like a trophy. So, you know, a lot of times in life, you know what I'm saying, we go to our opposite, how you said, through our storms and our trials and tribulations in our life, and we want to try to fix it right then, and we want it to be fixed then. Sometimes change takes a process. You know, a lot of change takes a process in our life, and God has to process that change in our life. It's just like you're not just going to change overnight. You know what I mean? Gradually, God changes you to be the man that he wants you to be if you allow him to change you. And so I pray every day that God changes me more and more every day, you know, to make me a better man every day, to make me better in my community, make me better to make a difference in my community, or make me a better leader. You know what I'm saying? Make me better a person that understand knowledge, that would learn more knowledge. Make me better in them areas. Make me better. That's why we set goals and we allow God to be a part of our goals, because we can't go wrong without letting God be a part. That's what we mean by putting God first in our life. Brother Hess?
Yes, sir. Hello? Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, brother.
Well, that's really what I had to share, man. Y'all can input on that. But I've been kind of marinating and listening to y'all, what y'all was saying. And, man, that's what we got to do, though.
Most definitely, that's what we got to do, brother. You know, man, as I was listening to you, I was sitting back thinking to myself, man, I was speaking with a brother. I had went to the library, and down at our community's local library, I was speaking with one of the brothers about change. And that's what he hit me with. He was like, you know, Brother Hess, you've been in prison for most of your life, and now you are, you know, moving and grooving out and about, you know, you're doing different events and working to clean up these different communities. And it's like, you know, brother, why didn't you try to get out of prison earlier? And he put me in a space that really brought me to the point of what we're talking about tonight, change. He was like, man, you spent over a decade in there for a murder case. You spent over 8 years in there for an ag. aggravated assault, aggravated battery. And it's like, you know, you could have been trying to get out. Why did you wait so long? And I had to tell him the truth, Mac Rich. I looked at him dead in his face, and I was like, bro, because I wasn't ready to get out. I said, it took me some time to be prepared to feel and know in my heart that I could get out and never hurt somebody again. And that took a lot. It took a lot. It didn't take just a few weeks. It didn't take a few months. It didn't take a couple of years. It took a long time for me to be able to look another man or a woman in their face and say, I know if I'm set free today, I will never kill again. I will never snort another drug. I will never hurt another individual because they piss me off or they are disloyal or they, you know, hurt something that I place as valuable in my heart or someone. I will not use violence ever again unless it's to thoroughly defend my life right then and there at that time. And so I realized, you know, the brother was looking at me and shaking his head. And when I looked at him, like, you know, what was his response? He came back. He was like, dang, bro. He said, man, I ain't never heard too many people, man, you know, break that thing down like that. He was like, bro, I just want to applaud. And I was like, it ain't no applause. It's the truth, bro. You know, it don't make no sense for me to get back out and come back out here into this society if I knew that I still had that killer instinct in me or that I still had that gangster inside of me. Until that is dead, you know, it wasn't no reason. I need to work on myself. I need to work on my spirit. I need to work on my change. It's many things that got to be changed in order for me to become a man. And I may be 30, 40, 50 years old, but still ain't made the changes that's necessary to become a man, meaning one who is responsible for moving above negativity. You know, I got to take that responsibility. Like the brother said earlier, I got to be willing to be held accountable. I got to hold myself accountable. And I got to act like there's a God, you know, looking in on me at all times. I remember when I was inside them walls in them prison cells, every time you walk out your door, it was a camera right there watching you, every move you make. When you walk out your dormitory, there was a camera right there. When you're walking on the walk, there was more cameras. When you went in the chow hall, there was more cameras. When you went in the education department, wherever you went, medical, there was more cameras, and the camera was always watching. And I had to build that system of cameras inside of me to where I felt like God was watching me 24/7 no matter what I did. And that's when I began to make the changes. So, brother, I'm proud of you, man, and everything that you're doing to make these changes in your life, and I definitely want to continue to encourage you, you know, in your walk for success because we need more brothers like you. You dig?
All right.
That's peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, prayer love, and service.
Prayer call will be tonight, brother. I've been out the last few days, man, been going through a lot of things, man, but you know what I'm saying? It'll be back rolling tonight. We're going to have praise and worship tonight, though.
Yes, sir. Let's get it, man. It's only fair. Brother Yon.
Most definitely. Appreciate you coming in, Brother Mac. You're 100% right, you know. I had to learn the hard way. You got to give all that to God, you know. He ain't going to give you more than your shoulders can handle. So why are you tripping? Make changes.
Right.
Peace, brother. Let's go to our next caller now. Caller 678-760. Come on in. Share who you are, where you're calling from.
Peace, brother. Peace. My name is Vic Congo. I'm originally from Congo, but, you know, I live in DeKalb County. Brother Hess is definitely a mentor to me. I'm actually glad I came on tonight. Tonight is my first night. It's been a while since I actually been on here, and we're talking about change. And as I was listening, I remember when I first met Brother Hess, and he was taking me through that change from a little kid to a grown man. And it was uncomfortable for me because I wasn't ready at the time. So I always push back. You know, he'll come, approach me, give me books to read. You know, it just wasn't my time. You know, I thought it wasn't my time. I was comfortable where I was at. And here I had, you know, here there was a grown man in front of me seeing my potentials and knowing what I needed to change to become a better person. But it was just hard for me to accept. And, you know, I see that nowadays in society. It's so hard for people to change because they're comfortable with who they are. They're not ready to put in the work that needs to happen for change to actually happen, you know, especially for the better, for the betterment of anything in life. You have to put in work, and it has to be consistently, you know. And that's what he did to me. He consistently, even though I pushed back, you know, because the love he had, he has for people, you know, and what he does and what he do, he just consistently pushed. He pushed. He pushed. I didn't see it, because one thing about change, it starts within. You know, you want to see it on the outside. You're ready to see it on the outside, but it starts within. I didn't see it, but when we finally separated, and I had to stand there on my own, I started to see what he did for me, you know, how he took me from this young kid to this young man, you know. And like I said, it's been a while since I've been on this radio station, and I know it's a surprise for him, but I definitely want to say thank you, you know, thank you for what you've done for me. It was amazing. It really was amazing, and it still is amazing now, because I hold you within me. You know, who I am today is definitely because of you. You know, you've done a lot for me. But it just to hit on the topic, change is, you know, it has to happen when the person is ready for it. You know, and a lot of these guys, a lot of us are living in a false world. You know, we got to come back into reality. We got to stop trying to be somebody else. You know, we have to be comfortable with who we are in life. You know, I can't be Future. I can't be Lil Wayne. You know, I'm me, you know, and I love me, and, you know, I'm special. We all are special, you know, but it's hard to change when we're trying to be somebody else. With that said, peace.
Peace and blessings, brother, man. I love you so much, brother, and thank you so much for coming in here, man. You made my week, brother. Might even made my month, you know. Man, you know, brother, I want to ask you, first of all, how is your sister and father doing?
They're doing good. My sisters, they're actually over there cooking. You know, they're making something, a surprise meal. So they're doing good. You know, my dad is doing good as well.
That's beautiful, brother. That's beautiful, man. You know, brother, you know, as long as I used to see you, every time I saw you, I saw a brother who was striving, you know, who wanted to grow physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And so, brother, you know, it's an honor to have you here today to be able to speak about change, because you made many changes in your life, and you stubborn. You know you be stubborn. You're stubborn just like your daddy, you know what I mean? Your dad, an old stubborn man, you know what I mean? And you got his ways deeply embedded inside you. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like the spirit of God, bro. It moves you, you know what I'm saying, to do things. And I want to ask you before you leave the line, you know, what is it like now to be around your sisters? What is it like to be around your sisters now and being that big brother you always wanted to be?
It's amazing, you know. It's amazing. It's hard to describe. It just, when I finally, because I was gone from them for so long, you know, I did a 10-year bid, and they was young when I left, and coming back home and seeing them, and just the love. It's like I never left, you know. The love that just, and they constantly give me this each and every single day. You know, they open up to me. They haven't closed. You know, they haven't closed the door. You know, they give me the opportunity to be a big brother. And, you know, I take each and every opportunity that comes my way to be that big brother, you know, to get to know them more, you know, to love them and encourage them. You know, I don't try to lock nothing away. I don't try to hide nothing away. You know, I want to let them know. I want to teach them, you know, so they can be prepared for society. So it's just a blessing to be around them. You know, I'm around them each and every single day. It's not a day that goes by that I'm not around them. You know, so we talk every day. We see each other every single day. So I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely awesome, brother. And we're thankful for you, brother. You continue to keep focused, keep progressing. And remember, the only way you keep what you have is by giving it away. If you don't use it daily, you'll lose it daily, all right? That's love, family.
That's right. I will be back on here. You know, I will be back because I've been trying to get on there. I've just been coming in late. But I will be back.
It's only fair, man. You already know. If you don't, I'm going to be sending some real crazy inboxes. Love you, bro.
Love you too, bro.
Brother Yarn, you got the mic, bro.
I appreciate it. That was good to hear. Definitely enjoyed that. I appreciate you coming through, brother. Nice to meet you. Let's go to our next caller. Caller 214-417. Come on in and share who you are.
This your brother Abdul Rahim. One more time, man. This is my first time on the line ever. Like, my cousin Bo, he telling me and stuff. I went and added Brother Hess. And, like, just been watching the brother. And, like, to hear that brother that just got off the phone and spelling up on that brother like that and to be carrying that with him every day. Me just standing on this phone, because I know the Father don't put me in no strange happenings. I ain't going to come in and talk and not listen to the other people talk. That'd be unfair. I spit on the mic. That'd be like me coming to perform and leave and not watching other people spit. So I stayed, and I'm looking to see, like, what the whole program is about. But just to tip my hat to both of y'all brothers, man, y'all both are blessed. What's the other brother name, Brother Hess?
Oh, that's Big Congo. I'll definitely tell
no.
His name.
The one,
oh,
I'm talking about the
Young.
One right here. Brother
yeah,
Young.
Brother Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Young.
Brother Young, man. Tip my hat off to you, too, man. Because a lot of us women talking stuff, man, like myself, and you could listen. And when you could open both of your ears, man, you would catch something. You would be able to say one or two words to a guy like me that I could hold on for the rest of my life. So, like I said, both of y'all brothers is a blessing, man. And change is good. I'm still working on change. I'm not all the way there. That go back to what the brother before him was saying. Like, some people look like, oh, I got all the answers or whatever. And like I was saying earlier, and people feel like you're turning your back on them or whatever. And I don't ever want to be one of those guys. So I always try to, like Brother Hess say, use what I have and keep giving it away. Like, I don't be even wanting to break it all the way down like I be breaking it down, but I be having to because I feel like I'm them same dudes where I'm talking about that I dislike. Like, I can't hide nothing. Like the brother Congo was saying, I can't hide nothing from my brothers and my sisters, and I mean that universally. So if I come across ones and I could give it away, I'm going to keep giving it away, man. And I'm going to keep on fellowshipping with brothers and bring more brothers and more brothers and more brothers. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, when the next show is?
We do Sunday nights, which we do, we call that our spiritual voice of the streets, where it coincides with the Peace Summit we're doing in Los Angeles, California, from April the 26th through the 29th. We do that every Sunday night at the same time, and then we'll be back here on Thursday night, Brother Yarn and Brother Hess, Breaking the Curse.
Okay, so I'll be tuning back in to you, brothers and yeah, man, universally, we got to stop just talking about it and do something about it. So, like, I'm down here in Texas right now, and I also stretch to Chicago, of course, without a shadow of a doubt. So, whatever I could do for our social media-wise on that end, but, like, more physically, like, in the flesh-wise, like, spreading it to people, you know, because this is universal problems, you know, we're talking about. So, it's not a Chicago problem. A California problem. This is a global problem that we have. You know what I'm saying? So whatever I could do to aid and assist what this show bring and try to get some outcomes, like set up some, like, you know what I'm saying, like some headquarters or something. Like, I know we got Nation Islam, we got other stuff, but I'm talking about the people, the actual people that go out here and be voting for aldermen and all this stuff, and some of them don't ever see these people, whatever. You know, like, how could we get them more involved? You know what I'm saying? On a city-to-city basis. Like, that's what I'm trying to bring to the table. And I want y'all brothers to incorporate y'all self and y'all help with what I'm doing, because it just go along with what the ones that came before me been doing and the ones that came before you brothers. You know what I'm saying? We best keeping it going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We with it, brother. Let's definitely meet it. Let's begin to have our meeting of the mind. You know what I mean? Form the bond. Like you say in step one, and then we begin to identify the problem. Just like what you said, man, we got too many people that's not out here in the community. You know, we got Brother Haroon of the Street Groomers in Atlanta, West End Masjid. And one of the things that brother always talked about, he'd be like, Brother Hess, man, I don't understand, man. It's like none of our people are here at City Hall at these meetings. We wonder why we got potholes and why we ain't got no funding for schools or no funding. It was like the people that getting the funding is the people at these meetings, these city council meetings, these city hall meetings, because this is where they delegating certain funding to go here and there. And so if nobody's representing the, you know, the west side or the west end or the most, you know, hoodlum part of the south side, then
yes, sir.
We don't get nothing fixed. And so he began to bring a whole new political awareness to the table of why we ain't having being reconstructed, rebuilt, fixed, you dig, within the poverty-stricken communities of Atlanta. And so, you know, big shout-out to that brother, and definitely, brother, you know, that's a problem that we got to fix it. We got to get their voice, and that's how the Black Panther started. You know, Huey and Bobby Seale, they went around asking questions like, you know, what do you want to see the biggest change happen here in Berkeley or here in Oakland? You know what I mean? What's the biggest changes you want to see? You know, what is the biggest thing that you feel like need to be fixed in this hood? You know what I mean? What's the main person that you want to have somebody go talk to because of their disrespect within this community? And then they wrote these answers down, and they began to compile it, and they began to go out and be the people. They were people's voice. That's the righteous aspect of forming bonds, identifying problems, and expressing the importance of unity. If you can't speak, I'll speak for you. And we got so many people that are afraid to speak, man, because we got so many hidden motives.
Yeah, I'm taking the words out of my mouth. That's why I'm being quiet.
Man.
I don't usually be quiet. You saying everything.
Bro.
So I'm back listening. Y'all got some good stuff. I want to just become a listener. I pray to the Father and ask him to humble my tongue, brother, because, like, I don't like talking. Because somebody might not want to listen, and now they going to say something to put me back up in that old Brother Hess mode. I'm feeling like I'm disrespected, but I'm trying to represent and stand for something that's in a positive light. At the same time, I got to do what? Change something. That's my biggest problem. I ain't going to lie. In the workplace or whatever, brother. Like, I got some changing to do, brother. And I just need to keep hearing it and hear the solutions. See, you talking about solutions, and you intriguing my mind to say, okay, if them brothers did that, then I may could go do that. At least I'm willing to try, and I'm willing to trust that I ain't going to be dying behind it. I'm changing my whole mind. You see that? I ain't even say I'll die about it. So I just love y'all, big bro, man, for real. And, inshallah, I'll be able to meet y'all brothers in the flesh because, like I said, man, thrill is gone. All that old background crap or whatever. If I wanted to go be the president right now, I could go be the president if the people would vote for me. But on that note, man, my feet is 10 toes down where they always been at, man. I don't care about the money or nothing because we got to start moving around like we inherited something. And we tripping, talking about this is my last $20 and stuff. And the youth hearing it, see what we doing? We speaking stuff into existence. This is all I got and all that type of stuff. Those are words that keep me up in a like negative type mind because when you try to tell a brother or sister like, no, don't speak like that. The Father said we rich, we this, we that. Then they're going to why we not. And, man, I'm talking about right now, I ain't talking about all that spiritual stuff. Hold on, fool. I stay spiritual 365 days a year, 24/7. So, like, I got some change to do, and I just thank the Father for connecting me to some more brothers that's not on TV getting paid for doing what we actually done. Some people that is telling me what they did off their experience, like the locks say, living off experience. I like to hear that. I could bow down to that knowledge all day.
That's real. That 100, family. Now how we striving to move and groove, man. We got to get into the flow of it, man. And when you begin to make these type of changes, this is what make your blood flow. And otherwise, man, you cold. That's why you cold. Your blood ain't circulating. And so these are the changes that we want to express. And our brother Abdullah just hit the nail on the head. That's what breaking the curse is all about. Me and Brother Yon been doing this thing. Now, I don't know how long we've been doing this thing, Brother Yon. I know it's been some months. I can't remember how long.
This individual show or Pop's movement?
No, the breaking the curse, you know, because he had spoke about the word.
We started breaking
like,
the curse in about June. I think it was about June.
Around June.
So about six months. We're somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's 6 months of us saying the same thing that little bro just said, and that changing the
right.
Words. That's the main thing of breaking the curse is changing the words. They say your words dictate your thoughts. Your thoughts dictate how you feel. Your feelings dictate your emotions, and your emotions dictate how you act. If you don't like your actions, then go back to your emotions. If you don't like your inner emotions, go back to what you're feeling. And if you don't like your feelings, then go back to the thoughts that you're thinking. And if you want that to change, then the only way you can break the curse of those negative and those wicked and ill thoughts is by changing what you say, what you read, what you listen to, what you speak. And it's like family, we got the formula. We just got to activate it. And like you did a self-checking. You know, my mentor, man, and I said this before, you know, my mentor, man, one of the greatest things he taught me, he said, nurture yourself, Brother Hess, with positive self-talk before you talk yourself into some big regrets and some big curses. You putting them curses on yourself, but now you want to blame all these other different people for why you having a bad day. Shit, you put that weight on your shoulders, and you the only one can take it back off. Why are you giving them so much power over you? Why are you saying that they holding you down, they weighing you down? Man, lift that stuff up, man. You a man. You a king. You a boss.
Yes,
you a big old brother. You got so much love inside you, man. What is you waiting on? And the only one that can contain that love is you. Ain't nobody got no power over that. Love don't cost no money. You feel me? Love gonna make you acquire the right money, and it's going to make you invest that money and do what you need to do with that money so that the people can reap from that harvest. See, this is you. You got the power like He-Man back in the day. And that's the kind of, you know, attitude, and that's the type of focus we got to have, man. Nobody can't hold us down, man. We a comeback story, man. We're one of the greatest comeback stories of the 21st century, family. I'm just keeping it real, man. I'm so proud of us, man. I swear to God. But I'm going to shut up, man. I know it's time for us to close out this show. My brother Yon waving at me like, all right, Brother Hess, all right, man. Come on,
I don't
here.
Want
to
just stop, Brother Yon.
Brother Abdullah.
You say what happened not?
Come on in with your closing statements, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. Peace and blessings again to all the people that called in, man. All the people that had it on their mind to call in. Even the people said, man, damn calling in. Like, seriously. And I just want to say once again, thank you, Brother Hess. Thank you, Brother Young. And I think that what y'all saying, it lines up what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people could go behind these pulpits or whatever they go in. But how many people willing to go and step in the heart of the problem and come with a positive attitude, not no attitude like, man, when I go over here, I bet you they ain't going to play with me, because that still got that inner motion. So you ready to get it out you. You know what I'm saying? This how you feeling, like you got something to get off your chest. So if somebody even look like or smell like they ain't doing what you do want them to do, you know, you already putting yourself in a jam to where now you got to deal with the law. You was doing something good, and this my problem. And now I'm seeing it even clearer, like on different levels. So like I said, man, I'm finna sit down when I get off this phone with y'all, brothers. I'm finna jot some of the stuff that was said down, because this is all the stuff that I've been saying several different type of ways. You just keep on expounding, you and Brother Young, the callers. So, man, I'm finna sit down and evaluate myself earlier. You know, usually it takes me to, like, when I lay down or whatever, but I actually got a plan, because that's a problem. That right there would stop me from being a successful businessman that I want to be, that the Father set me out to be, the leader that the Father set me out to be. I can't get in the way of that. I can't get in the way of that. So I'm going to address that. Peace and blessings. I love y'all. Sunday, I'm going to be tuning in. What time y'all say again, brother?
7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, your time.
Okay, 6:30. And then shall I be able to make, what do y'all say, y'all in California somewhere in April?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. April the 26th through the 29th, we'll be live in Los Angeles, California, Southside. On the 26th, we will be at Masjid Al Rasul with the big brother, the Imam Mujahid Abdul Kareem. Our elder was the first man that went around the projects of Nickerson, Hacienda, Jordan Downs, and JD. And he brought together, you know, people like the Great Street Crips and the, you know, he got the Bounty Hunter Bloods and, you know, so many brothers throughout South Central to come together right there at his masjid and begin to sign the first truce that they call the Truce of Nine Deuce. And the elder is still right there on Central Ave. And so we're going to be opening up Peace Summit. Yeah, Peace Summit 2018 with the 26-year anniversary. On April the 26th, it marks 26 years since that first peace treaty signing of the Truce of Nine Deuce, and then we'll be going into the 25-year anniversary of the peace summit that happened in Kansas City, Missouri, with Dr. Carl Upchurch and all the elders out of Chicago and all across the nation. So, yes, sir, man, it'd be a blessing to have you there. Peace and blessing.
Peace and blessing, bro.
Peace, Brother Abdul. I appreciate you definitely coming back in. I'm going to give my two-piece, my 2 cents in just a few moments.
Give me 20 cents. Give me 20 cents, man.
Hey, man, this is a call I've been waiting for a long time. You got to be respectful to your calls first. You know, like you said, I like to listen. So, caller 850-408, please come on in. Share who you are and where you come from.
Peace and blessings, Brother Savage. This is Paige calling from Florida.
Blue 22.
What's up, Brother Harris? How you doing? How you been?
Love and service, Sister Queen.
Peace and blessings. Yes, yes. I'm calling. I'm listening. And the topic on change and chat to say something because it, like, it hit me. And I was listening and one thought that really, really stuck to me was, like, change should really happen consistently. It's a part of our life that, yeah, we know it's not going to happen overnight, but at the same time, every single day there's something happening that could be made better, and it requires of our life to have to change, you know, to make it better. So every day should, in some way, is something that we got to change. You know, to reach, like, the goals, I heard a brother say earlier about setting goals, our goals, but what goals are we trying to reach? What's the purpose of the change? When we change, we got to think about the purpose of our change. And the goals, like the priceless goals, not the ones with the money and all that, like the priceless goals that we can reach with these changes. So then we really, really dig down and say, hey, something has to change every day, right? My thought process, what I'm doing, how I'm feeling about situations and the people that I need to put away from me so that they don't cause these things. That needs to change. Maybe I need to change my environment. I need to change what's causing a problem, because if it needs to be changed, then it's something that's not right. You know, because if it's going good, we don't want to change it. We want to keep it just like it is. But when we see a problem in it, we see, hey, we got to fix something within this, so we need to change it. You know, I've seen that in the traffic, and it's like change can vary from so many different situations. Like, can't focus on one situation. Change happens in some of everything involving life. Like materialistically, emotionally, adding things on, things just change. And we have to be prepared to make things better with the changes that come and accept change because it's going to happen. Maybe it's a small change, but if we focus on the things that make it better as a whole, then change is amazing. Peace and blessings, love and service.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Brother Hess, you want to definitely want to appreciate. Thank you very much, sister, coming in. And you know, you said peace is change is a blessing. I would expound upon that because I believe in the same thing. Peace is definitely. I mean, change is definitely a blessing. Most people just don't understand that. It's what I believe.
Yeah.
Brother Hess. Peace. Brother Hess, you got anything you want to finish up with before we close up the show?
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you. I mean, we couldn't do it without you. I want to say thank you to everybody that came in with us, brother. And I want to just ask you a personal question. Hearing what Sister Tay just said and realizing that change is inevitable, whether you want it to change or not, whether you want to change or not, change is coming. And if you don't change, you're fixing to get caught up in a whirlwind of all kind of mess, trying to suppress what it is that's supposed to be going on. We got to trust the process. And so, you know, since you have begun to trust the process in your life, what do you see are curses that are beginning to break? And what's being replaced in your life in the place where curses used to be when you didn't want certain changes for your life? You understand that question?
I believe I do. You can correct me if I'm not saying what you want to hear, more or less. I had a whole bunch of curses that I put upon myself. And, you know, that's the choices that I made in my life, you know. And I was in a situation where I had to make a very important choice. And that choice was, do I leave everything that I know and where I'm comfortable at and go somewhere completely foreign and start all over? Or do I stay the same in the same place that's caused me so much misery and pain? And I chose to leave. At that time that I chose to leave, I had to change the way I lived, the way I thought, and the interactions and the people that I chose to interact with. So my entire living way of being had to evolve to supplement the changes that needed to be made, because the situation, one wrong move, and now I'm in an even worse situation. Now, that's how we live our lives, but my life really lived that. That's the best way I can explain it without explaining it too deeply. And I began to evolve in other areas of my life, relationship-wise, especially with myself. And the hardest part of it all was removing those old shackles that I put upon myself every single day that I woke up. I woke up and I wasn't concerned about those same things. I was concerned about something new. And each change that I made that was positive while I was staying away from that negative made me appreciate where I was at that much more. But it also made me appreciate the bonds and the relationships that I made along the way that much more. Each one had a lesson. Each one had an experience. Each one had its own vision of what it should have been and can be. And now I'm in a situation where I sit back, you know, let's say about 3 years later, and I'm like, this really happened? Because I trusted this so-called process, as I like to say, process. I began to focus on other things like, you know, my own personal education, reading different books and every book that I can get a hold of that fit my personality while striving to make sure I solidified and identified with my personality. Because I'm only going to live this life one time and there's only so many people that I'm going to meet, but I get to choose how many of them I get to meet out of them all. I can't meet everybody in the world. And then I get to choose how I want to dictate the relationships I have with the people that are already close to me. Do I want to let a little misunderstanding and where emotions fly and people see things differently get the better of me? Or do I love that individual enough where, you know what, Now, I'm not sacrificing my ego to make that phone call. What I'm doing is I'm showing that I value that relationship more than the bickering or the arguing that's occurred. That's all about if I value that individual. So a change is going to come with every individual because some people you got to leave behind. It's unfortunate, but that's reality. Got to leave them behind because all they're going to do is keep being those shackles. That's how I look at it. That's just my personal opinion. So as I grow, the people that were with me may not be with me. The ones that choose to grow with me, you know, we're just going to continue to grow. That's the cool part about it. Some people, you just don't have a choice. You're stuck with them. Like, damn, you know what? Come on. You're on the bus. Come on. You know, but at the same time, one of the things I also had to look at myself is priorities. And if you're not going to change with your priorities, you're not going to change. You're just going to be stuck right where you're at. It's like I'll give you this example. A lot of people make excuses. What's an excuse? It's just another reason why you didn't feel like doing it. Just say, I didn't freaking feel like doing it. I was lazy. Tell the truth. Don't find an excuse to justify why you made that decision. You made that decision because you knew full well what you're doing. And if you didn't, then I'm sorry. Maybe you're, you know, there's a couple screws loose. I understand. I'll be sympathetic. My little brother's like that. But I love him anyways, and I try to challenge him. But priorities, back to that, what I was trying to say. I had to choose my priorities and what I value the most and what's going to get to me to my goal. So every 3 to 6 months, I make a game plan, and I reevaluate every 3 to 6 months. I have my weekly goals and my monthly goals, but I sit back and really evaluate what have I done and where am I at and where am I going. So we're entering the end of the year, and I'm sitting back. This is my 6 month that I'm doing this because I did this again in June, and I'm sitting there evaluating where am I at, where am I going, and what am I going to do, what's my priority. Because I guarantee you, anybody on this line or anybody listening down the line, if I get offered you $1 million and I told you you need to walk through this snowstorm, blizzard, 16 hours, and if you make it to the other end, I don't care how long it takes you, you're going to make that trip for that $1 million. I guarantee you that. And if you say you're not, you probably don't value money, but I guarantee you most people will. So you prioritize that money over everything else in your life. You said, forget your job, forget your family, forget my life, forget everything I got to do. That's what your priority is. You're going to go make that money. Well, that's how you got to look at the little things too. They're just as important, you know, just as important as the Bible states. One penny is just as valuable as the dollar or the $100. So you got to evolve with the times, you got to evolve with the changes, and you got to evolve with the people that are around you. So that's just my 2 cents. Does that kind of answer it, bro?
Man, without a shadow of a doubt, and what a hell of a 2 cent it is. I mean, a heaven of a 2 cent it is. Yeah, brother, I most definitely can dig it, man. I thank you so much, brother, because your process or your process, as you said, has encouraged so many people across the nation. And seeing what you are evolving into as an inspiration and a comeback story in life is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And you take the time to give it away. A lot of people would hoard it, or a lot of people would, they would only want it for themselves, and they would become egotistical, or they become, singular in their focus. But it's like yours is broadening. And, brother, I just want to say thank you, brother, for everything that you are and as a gift to us all. So I say peace and blessings, man. I love y'all. And, brother, I got to say, man, this was a hell of a show, man. Love and service.
Love, brother. Well, you know what? It was never mine to begin with. How about that, food for thought? Thank you very much for coming in. We'll be back right here on Sunday next. Talk about that 6:30 Central with Brother Hess and I in regards to the upcoming Peace Summit and Spiritual Peace in the Hood.
Jagged jigsaw pieces tossed about the room. saw my grandma sleeping with her old straw broom. She didn't know what she was doing. She could hardly understand. Yeah. She was really sweeping up pieces of a man. I saw my daddy meet the mailman. And I heard the mailman say, now don't you take this letter too hard now, Jimmy. They've laid off 9 others today. But he didn't know what he was saying. He could hardly understand. He was really sleeping up pieces of a man. I saw the thunder, heard the lightning, and felt the burden of his shame. And for some unknown reason, never turn my way. Pieces of that letter tossed about the room. And now I hear the sound of sirens come knifing through the gloom. They don't know what they are doing. They could hardly understand. They're only arresting, pieces of a man. Saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces. He was always such a good man.